Crossbreed Holster Studios. 10 years on the air and 10 years on target. This is Armed American Radio.
You know, the right to bear arms is because that's the last form of defense against tyranny.
We're making the Second Amendment great again.
I am a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment.
Educating, informing, and entertaining responsibly armed citizens from coast to coast. Here is your host of Armed American Radio, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, the third hour of the last program of the year. It's upon us now. Time flies, not just the weeks and months, but the hours during the program go pretty quick as well. I hope you've enjoyed the previous hour. A.W.R. Hawkins, Alan Gottlieb, Derek Schreck from Defender Coffee, Rob Pincus. Now, I'm kind of jumbling up a little bit here, but we're going to be talking with Dr. John Lott in just a moment. Then we're going to be talking with Paul Markle, student of the gun. As I told you, you never know what might happen on Armed American Radio's Monster Cast. So let's go right smack to Dr. John Lott. Dr. Lott, welcome to the program, my friend. I'm going to say Happy New Year now because it's the last Sunday that I'll be able to do that with you on the air. How are you, and Happy New Year?
Doing great. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you for being here. John, I am going to ask you the same question I've been asking all of my guests today, and that is, it's been a crazy year. I'm sure you'll agree with me. I've never seen the content come at me as fast as it has in 2019, and I have a feeling that 2020 is going to be even more. What's the biggest story of the year as far as John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center, CPRC, .org. What's the biggest story of the year for you?
Boy, I guess I wish I'd had more time to prepare for that question. I guess a couple things strike me, maybe not just one, and that is just the amount of media bias. I mean, I guess I've always believed that there's a lot of media bias on the issue of guns, but it's continued to get worse. And just so many of the mainstream media outlets just refuse to even note that there's another side to the stories that they have. I suppose I also would just put down just the tremendous amount of money that has been going to the other side in terms of research and what have you. And the third thing I would just mention is President Trump has been a stalwart defender of people's ability to go and own guns for self-defense. I wish the impeachment stuff hadn't come up, because I think there would have been some initiatives that they would have had that would have gone forward with that really would have shaken up the whole debate on gun issues. But so I just don't have one thing there, but I guess I have three.
Well, let's cover three of those, because they're all great, and I agree with every single one of them. It's hard to pinpoint one. Rob Pincus was talking about the National Rifle Association being a big story. Of course, Virginia. Others are talking about what's going on in Virginia right now being a huge story, and all of those are huge, no doubt. But the media bias, I've always been one to jump on the media bias, because I believe that the media, when they're pushing a particular agenda and ignoring the other side, is doing tremendous damage to the psyche of the nation and is contributing to the division that we have in this country today. It may be the single biggest factor contributing to that, because that's where people get their information. So from the media bias standpoint, I think that's not new, and it got worse in the year. But money was a big issue, because it played a role, for example, in Virginia. Bloomberg saying that he doesn't have to worry about outside influence because he's funding his own campaign. The others on the other side that are running do. And when people give them money, Bloomberg said in an interview that they expect something for that. Well, he kind of outed himself there, because he gave millions in Virginia. And I think we're seeing what happened in Virginia, a result of, or what's going to happen in January next month, as a result of payback to Bloomberg, right? With the gun controls that they're threatening now, Northam and Herring and the rest. Is that a true statement?
Well, I think Bloomberg did play an important role in that. I mean, I'm not sure that Bloomberg is buying their support so much as he supported people who agreed with him. And, you know, they're going to do, he got into office, the people who sincerely believe that we need to have more gun control regulations. So they're just going to do what they believe on it. I'm not sure it makes much difference in terms of whether somebody feels that they're bought to go and do a particular vote or whether, you know, they end up voting, they get into office because of the money and then vote the way they want to vote. But, you know, Virginia is going to change pretty dramatically. You know, we've seen large number of people turn out for different county commissioner meetings and what have you. It's too bad that more of them didn't show up during the election this last year. But, you know, as far as the media bias goes, I just am continually amazed. CNN, MSNBC, many of the major networks, you just will not see somebody on the other side representing an opposing viewpoint to the gun control issue. CNN will have four or five people on a panel, and all of them agree with the same bottom line with regard to gun control. You have discussions on the Sunday morning talk shows, and except for Fox, it's pretty much uniform in terms of people's views on the issues. It's not like they even try to go and get people on the other side to go and do it. The only people that they've been interested in getting on the other side has been the NRA, but unfortunately, the NRA has been pretty much missing in action since April this last year. And one can understand why they have been, just because of the different lawsuits and other things. You know, if you were to put a NRA spokesperson up, they probably would have to be forced to spend, you know, the first half or two-thirds of their interview, you know, dealing with the different attacks on them and not getting to the basic issues that they want to go and get to. So, you know, I have no knowledge about the legitimacy of the lawsuits or whatever against them. I'm happy to believe that a lot of them are made up. But whether that's true or not, it still accomplished the end result that they're kind of off the air. And you don't have people like Dana Loesch or Madge Torre or others speaking out for them as you have had in the past. And that has made a big impact on, you know, just the overall debate on politicians who kind of want to have the NRA providing air cover for them and at least getting arguments out. So, I mean, there are other groups that have had to step forward and try to do stuff, but the media isn't as interested in having those types of people on the air. So it's made a big difference.
I think you'll agree with me when I say it's pretty obvious to anybody that's paying attention that the media are circling around the NRA like buzzards. There's a lot of clamor on the other side to, you know, you got this David Hogg out there talking about we need to buy the building, collapse and crush the National Rifle Association. It looks like they're, you know, their whole objective is to claim a victory. And that's got a lot of us on this side. It does me personally. I've been very vocal about it, and both on this radio program and in my writings and in some of my columns about the self-inflicted wound that is currently the NRA right now. We're all very disappointed and upset about it, because going into 2020, we feel we need a strong NRA, and we do. The American gun owner has to have a strong NRA. But the reminder is that the NRA isn't a building on Waples Mill Road in Fairfax, Virginia. The NRA is 6 million members and millions of others who agree with the NRA but are not members for whatever particular reason it may be. John, I want to take you in another direction now, and I carry this into the next segment. There's news now that the federal government in the budget is adding $25 million to study, quote unquote, gun violence. And as an economist, as you are, and the difference between criminologists and economists and this money and how this money is going to be spent, we've only got about 30 seconds in this segment right now. But are you familiar with what they're wanting to do with the budget? And is that something we can talk about in the next segment? I really want to get your opinion on this.
Sure. Well, I mean, we've put up a number of posts on that issue, and I'm happy to talk about it. I think, unfortunately, the money is going to go towards, you know, political causes rather than actually doing good research.
All right, let's stop right there. When we come back from the break, I want to take John in that direction and find out a little bit about that, an individual whose studies we rely on for facts and truth to counter the other side. And you're going to find out why John's work is so vital and so important based on what he just said when we come back here on Armed American Radio's MonsterCast in these Crossbreed Holster studios. Back with John Lott right after this.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with the leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Hey!
Mike Gallagher wanting to let you know that the crew of the Desperado Sport Fish in Virginia Beach, Virginia, supports Armed American Radio and the Second Amendment, and I'm right there with them. Now back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I'm back with Dr. John Lott. John, we've got one more segment left. It flies right by, as you know. I'll go to Dave Workman's piece, Health Researchers Favor Gun Control More Than Criminologists and Economists. You've written some pieces at crimeresearch.org. Listener, I highly recommend that you visit John's site, donate, and help us out. But take a look at the research that John's done up there. John, we know that this is going to wind up biased. And the reason that we haven't been doing this is because we don't want to give federal money, which is my money, your money, taxpayer-funded money, to organizations who are going to use this for biased research. How do you think this is all going to shape up? And is it a will it be a surprise when they find out that their research favors gun control?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think the federal government, when it gives out money, just cannot divorce politics from the money that it gives out. You look from 2015 to 2018, the federal government spent over $43 million on funding gun control research. And almost all of that went to public health researchers. The National Institute of Health gave out about 90% of that money just by itself. And the problem is that, you know, public health researchers have a very strong view on gun control, and it's different from other academics. We just did a study that was just published in Regulation, a survey of academics, and what we found is that criminologists and economists are fairly skeptical of the efficacy of gun control. Public health people are much more strongly in favor of it. And the irony is that the proposals that economists and criminologists rank as the most important thing to do, and that is to get rid of gun-free zones, ranks last for public health researchers. There's the different proposals that criminologists and economists rank at the top go in the exact opposite order almost for public health researchers. And so, you know, it's not a big mystery why Democrats want to go and funnel money towards public health researchers and not criminologists and economists when it comes to guns and crime type issues, because they know that public health people are going to be much more likely to give them the types of results that they want to go and get.
Why the disconnect, John? Why the disconnect between the two or three, I should say, public health and the criminologists and economists? Why that disconnect there? Are they not seeing the same things?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. You read a lot of these public health people, and they view themselves as advocates, not as researchers. You know, I think the quality of the statistics and stuff that public health people do are like 30, 40 years behind other researchers. And anybody who's read my book, The War on Guns, knows that I spend a number of chapters there going through some of the current public health research and just showing how, you know, it's really biased stuff. I mean, things that any normal researcher would do, they don't do it the way people would normally do it, and they get but if they had done it in their studies the way people had done in terms of different control variables, for example, they would have gotten the opposite result of what they claimed to find. And so you know that they would have done it the normal way to begin with, didn't get the results they wanted, and started playing around with it to drop things out until they could get the results that fit their political views. You know, I don't know. It's a disturbing trend there. But these guys are not just getting money from the federal government. They're getting monies from different state governments. Right. California, Washington State, Hawaii, New Jersey are giving them money. They're getting huge amounts of money from Bloomberg and from George Soros and others. the RAND Corporation's gotten, I guess, up to $50 million they're getting, and like 96% of that is going to public health researchers. So, I mean, it's really a huge imbalance there. And so, you know, the fact that you're seeing a lot of research come out right now that favors gun control is simply a fact that the people that have the money and giving it out, whether it be the federal government or the states, are putting it towards researchers who favor strong gun control. Unfortunately, the one problem that I have with the Trump administration is that some of the political appointees that they have, for various reasons, are also giving the federal government money that they have control over to gun control advocates. So it's a bit of a mystery to me.
It is a mystery, and you know, it's hard to wrap your head around the amount of money that we're talking about here and the individuals. It's ironic that some of those individuals that are giving money to fund the gun control push are all surrounded by guns. Let me take this opportunity, to listener, to send you to crimeresearch.org here. John, I'm going to safely assume, and I know this is kind of a rhetorical question, but you don't have those tens of millions of dollars being thrown at you and the CPRC as the other side does, do you?
Our budget's about $200,000 a year, and you know, I think we produce a lot for the money that we have. You know, last year we had, I guess, about 90 op-eds in places like the New York Times and other places. We produce a lot of original research that isn't done anyplace else on everything from teachers carrying guns to gun-free zone type issues to red flag laws. We did over 300 radio interviews last year. You know, it's I think you can look at organizations that have budgets that are 50 times larger than us, and we've put out a larger media footprint than they have, plus do original research that you don't see being done at these other organizations.
And you know what interests me more than anything else is the research that your conclusions seem to mesh with the FBI's numbers. The FBI's numbers from the Uniform Crime Report seem to support and back up some of your findings. And they're in complete stark contrast to what the other side comes up with. And then when you throw that media bias in, we don't get the fair coverage on that side. So it's critical. Listener, I can't say this enough. As we move into 2020, if your eyes aren't open to what the fight is going to look like as we move through 2020 in this very contentious election year, I don't know what to tell you. But it's the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can visit them at crimeresearch.org. It's John Lott and the organization that are in the trenches doing the work, coming up with the studies and the numbers that counter all of this garbage, this biased garbage that's out there. It's John Lott doing it. He testifies to it across the country and to the federal government. He writes about it. He talks about it. John, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate the time. Really looking forward to bringing you back on in 2020. Gosh knows we're going to have tons of stuff to talk about. And who knows what it's going to be. If it's anything like 2019 was, it's going to be another rockish year. John Lott, crimeresearch.org. Thank you, John, for being here. Back with Paul Markle, student of the gun, right after this. Don't go away. Happy New Year, John.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The finest safes in the world are made right here in the United States of America. At Vault Pro, made in the USA still means something. Don't be fooled by companies that sell cheap foreign-made safes. Owning a gun is one of our most sacred liberties, and with that liberty comes the responsibility to protect our guns with a secure safe. But we don't stop there. At Vault Pro, we also manufacture the highest quality vault doors, storm shelters, and safe rooms, custom built at your request. We employ high-tech CAD safe and vault door design to protect what's important to you from theft, fire, or weather. When protecting your guns, valuables, and family, invest in the best safes on the market. Vault Pro. Visit online today at VaultProUSA.com. That's VaultProUSA.com. And check out our entire line from the finest handgun safes to modular safe rooms. Vault Pro has you protected. AAR listeners, you'll never know what you might see at VaultProUSA.com. Protect what's important to you with a Vault Pro safe. Vault Pro is a veteran-owned company, strong supporter of Armed American Radio, and the Second Amendment.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by Taser Self-Defense. Visit Taser.com to meet your new sidekick. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast, as promised, one of my favorite people on earth, and I know he's one of your favorite people as well. Before I go, let me tease this. I want to thank everybody that's jumped on the program with me today for the end of the year that takes time out of their busy schedule to come here and give their time to us. John Lott in the previous two segments. John's awesome. If you can help crimeresearch.org for even a dollar, for gosh sakes, go there. The federal government's taking your money to fund gun control studies, and I can tell you right now how they're going to come out. And it isn't going to be in our favor, because they're using the public health. They're weaponizing your taxpayer dollars against you. You mark my word, John's research is critical to getting the truth out there that they're just simply not going to tell you. It's as simple as that. A.W.R. Hawkins, Rob Pincus, Alan Gottlieb. I'm so looking forward to 2020, and I'm looking forward to bringing my next guest on a regular basis as well. Paul Markle, student of the gun. Boy, it's been a year for you too, hasn't it?
Yes, sir, it has. How am I sounding? Do I sound okay?
You sound fantastic, and I just love the fact that we're listening to your voice because of the battle that you just went through. So, yes, sir, you sound outstanding. You had a throat cancer diagnosis and I got your book. Was it 2 days ago, Paul, that you sent? I couldn't put it down. I read it cover to cover when it came in. And you know what hit me the most after you got your diagnosis? It was the same thing that happened in my home. When you said, this can't be happening. I'm living my life. I've got a business to run. I don't have time for this.
the exact same sentiment here in this house when my wife's diagnosis was cancerous with breast cancer on October 10th, 2017. This can't be happening. We don't have time for this in our lives. And then you have to realize and face the fact that, guess what? It is happening, and you better deal with it, right?
That's right. We don't get a lot of choices sometimes, and you got to play the cards that you're dealt, and that's what we did here. And that's why on the other side, I knew that I needed to write that book, and I needed to, and I've had dozens of people since my diagnosis and since coming out write and say, hey, you know, my dad, my brother, my mom, my sister, whatever, what advice do you have? And I was like, okay, this is the advice that I have. It's all there in the Fighting Solves Everything book.
Fighting Solves Everything. You know, I'm drinking out of a Fighting Solves Everything mug right now. And I got some cool stuff from you on that. The statement Fighting Solves Everything, you can look at that two different ways. And in the way we approach Fighting Solves Everything, we're talking about defense, fighting in the terms of self-defense or self-preservation. Is that a fair assessment of the way you've coined that phrase, Fighting Solves Everything?
Well, yeah, and it's both mental and physical. A lot of people, when they hear the term fighting, you know, they get all bunched up and they're like, you know, physical violence never solved anything. Well, yeah, it did, but it's not just about physical, it's mental as well, and it's having that attitude.
It's the getting, here's one thing that I told my wife. When we found out that she needed biopsy to begin with, very scary time. And I remember them going and checking on the insurance and coming back, and you know, they have to go through that business aspect of this whole mess too.
They came back.
Yeah, you sure very well do. And they come back after going through the business out of this and said, well, you do have good insurance, and we did get an approval right away, and we are going to biopsy. We'll see you back here in 2 hours, that type deal. The words came out of her, this can't be happening, this is not happening, this is not happening. And all I could do was put this in a self-defense perspective that it is. To think otherwise is living in denial, and we all know that denial gets us killed. And the same thing holds true in the street when it comes to our own self-preservation and self-defense. You see three guys walking at you, one of them sticks a knife out and says, give me your wallet. You can't sit there and think, oh, this isn't happening. You have to accept the fact this is happening and hopefully have some means of self-defense and look at this. So it kind of fits, doesn't it? Doesn't it kind of dovetail together? The same fight is the same fight. It's all self-defense, right?
Yeah, it's being prepared. And now, of course, with the cancer diagnosis, you have a little bit more time to think about it. You don't have like 1 second or 2 seconds on the street. But it's still a mental aspect where you're going to go through that. You're going to go through the battery of this shouldn't happen to me. This can't happen to me. You know, why is this happening to me? But at the end of the day, you have to make that purposeful decision that, all right, if I'm going to be alive, I need to live, and I'm going to fight, and fighting isn't just surrendering to the medical industry and laying down and saying, okay, do whatever you want to do to me. Because they can do things to you physically. They can give you treatments, but they can't get in your head, and they can't make you get up every day and do what needs to be done and get through all of the bumps and the valleys that you're going to have to go through. That's up to you.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. First of all, before we go any farther, tell us the name of the book and where people can find it, please.
Okay, it's called Fighting Solves Everything, Destroying Cancer with Faith, Nutrition, and Science. And you can go to fightingsolves.com and get a signed copy.
Yeah, there you go. I got my signed copy, and I tell you
that's
what,
right.
Listener, go get the signed copy from Paul. It's so educational. Let me tell you something. First off, a couple funny things. I like when I go to Student of the Gun because this is so you. I know you. I've known you for a long time. Well, you get the little pop-up that says, would you like us to notify you when we publish new content? And the answer, there's two answers. Yes, please, or no, I'm lame. I love that because I feel so stupid if I can't say no to that, right? I don't want to be lame. So you might start seeing that on the Armed American Radio website. I might co-op that for you.
That's all Jared right there.
Yeah, well, Jared did a great job. Jared, of course, being Paul's son. All right, Paul, one of the things in the book you and I talked about this yesterday. I guess it was 2 days ago about
Friday.
What I found to be the most powerful aspect of the book was, and it's all powerful because it's coming direct from you and everything that you went through. And this does have self-defense implication, listeners, why we're talking about it. Just as you heard me say with my wife a couple years ago, we're just reinforcing that. It makes me feel better to know that I was feeling the right things, Paul. If that's, it's therapeutic, if that makes sense, okay?
Yeah.
But one of the most powerful things I saw in there, well, the most powerful thing, was at the end of the book when all of a sudden there were these diary entries from your wife, and you told me in private off-air conversation that you didn't know she'd been writing that.
No, I didn't. I had no idea that she was keeping a journal the whole time that I was sick until we put the book together and I asked her to contribute to it. And she said, I'm going to put some of my journal entries in the book. And that was the first time that I had actually read them.
So what went through? I have to ask you this question, and I know I'm going to know the answer because I went through this here too. When you read those, what happened? And tell us, I mean, honestly, what happened?
I mean, I was reaching for the tissue box, man. I didn't really, you know, I mean, I knew it was hard, but to have her express in her own words, her own thoughts of, you know, dealing with it from her own side. And that's probably, you know, a lot of people might look at this book and say, well, I don't have this, or, you know, I'm not sick, or nobody in my life is sick, and that's fine. But it's not so much about the specific, I mean, there's a lot of specific cancer stuff, but this can apply to anything. It can apply to any illness or any hardship or anything, you know, anything iceberg that you run into in your life that you weren't expecting. And you're going to go through that battery of emotions. And so the book, but when it comes to L cancer, it's good both for the patient and for their loved one. You know, their spouse, their children, or whatever.
It is. It's powerful. I read that and I thought, oh boy, oh, this is good. So let me close out this segment with go get the book, Fighting Solves Everything. That's fightingsolves.com, and you can get the signed copy from Paul. And I would highly recommend that you do that. Paul,
they have to have a Kindle copy right now. It's on Kindle, Amazon Kindle.
Oh, there you go. So you can get that right now if you don't want to wait for the signed copy, which would make you lame,
a lot of listeners.
No, I'm lame, Kindle. By the way. Okay, Paul, let me stop you right there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's transition to 2019 and what your thoughts are going into 20. Paul Markle, student of the gun, right after this. Don't go away.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convoy Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Leadslinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Leadslinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadslingersWhiskey.com today.
Carr, the 25th anniversary K9 and the venerable P9 in various configurations. Magnum Research, the classic Desert Eagle available in 50, 44, 357, and the new 429 DE calibers. The BFR, biggest, finest revolvers, and the Magnum Light. Auto Ordnance, the classics, Thompson, that's right, the Tommy Gun, the incredible M1 carbine, and the one and only classic 1911. Carr Firearms, a family of brands standing for your family's freedom.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on the nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With a simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates 100% of profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and join the coffee club while you're there. DefenderCoffee.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sebastian Gorka, letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia, supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. This is the last segment of the last hour of the last show of the year. Not the Daily Defense. I'll be on the airwaves ticking off some liberal somewhere tomorrow. That's all fine and dandy. But for this Monster Cast, we are now 11 years into it. April 26th, coming up as we make this turn into 2020, will be our 11th anniversary. And on April 27th, we will be heading into our 12th year on the air. That's incredible. Couldn't have done it without you, and we couldn't have done it without our sponsors. Please, please visit my website, armedamericanradio.com, to visit all of our sponsors. Click on their links. Go see what they have for you. We're going to be doing some amazing things in 2020. We gave the three range bags away. Congratulations to the winners in the first hour. That's just the tip of the iceberg for what we've got coming in 2020. You'll notice I've been, you know, in this three-hour program, I've been a little bit quiet about that because I want to spend some time with these amazing guests here right now. But I'm derelict in my duties if I don't drive you to support the people who support us at Armed American Radio. These people have stepped up to the plate when we need this voice across the airwaves. And there's a whole lot more to come in 2020, I promise you. Paul Markle, Student of the Gun, the site studentofthegun.com or fightingsolves.com, where you can get the signed copy of the book. And here's a hint. Don't be lame. Don't be lame. You'll know what I mean when you go to the site. Every time I see that, it cracks me up. So I'll just hit yes, please, on this new computer. And there we go. Allow notifications. So we're done for that. That's my new computer. So there we go. Paul, 2019, some of the biggest names in the fight for our right to bear arms I talk to on a fairly regular basis, every single one of them, down to a letter, is in agreement that the anti-gun rhetoric was more amped up in 2019 than any of us have ever seen previously in our lives or in our careers doing this. Would you agree with that?
I would say yes. And I was talking to a good friend of mine last night who's known for 20 years and is in the industry. And he said that the acceleration is beyond compare.
Ooh, that's a great way to phrase that.
There's always been, my entire adult life, there's always been liberals and progressives. And there's been an anti-gun, gun control movement in the United States for my entire lifetime. But it has gone up slowly. And never in my lifetime did they ever have presidential debates where the candidates went up and just bold-faced, yeah, called for gun control restrictions, confiscation, limitations. That was always something that they waited. They would wait until they got power. They would wait until they got power, and they're like, okay, we're in charge now, and nobody can, and the American public has a short memory, so we can do what we want. But never would they go into an election cycle talking about confiscation and registration and all that, because what they would do is they would say, oh, these far right NRA wacko types, they think that, we want to take your guns. And that's not it at all. I remember the Biden and who else was it? Essentially every Democrat candidate, they go stand in a freshly harvested cornfield and somebody hands them a vest. They hand them a Dove vest or a break open shotgun, and they do a photo op.
John Kerry, remember, John Kerry pulled that, yeah, with the tags on his camo,
Yeah, and the funny thing, the vests will still have the wrinkles from being folded in a package. and they hand that out, to their Democrat sportsman voters and say, look at our candidate. He's holding a break open shotgun in a cornfield. He would never take your guns. But that's gone away.
Well, they don't want to take your guns, right? Until they want to take your guns. And that's where you're going with this. We had that, thankfully, that remarkable call from Beto O'Rourke for, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. Mm-hmm. And the silence of the rest who didn't outright agree with him, and several did, and they're all now in the tank. They're all in the toilet. Swalwell, gone.
Yeah.
Booker, he's next. He won't be around. Kamala Harris, of course, Beto himself. Those three individuals are, they couldn't poll over 2%. So now you've got this dynamic in play where the media, over the subsequent two debates, stopped asking about gun control because they're working in unison with the Democrat National Committee. And by the way, yeah, the people that put those debates on were MSNBC, okay, and other left-wing organizations. They're all friends, and they're doing this intentionally. So they're taking a page, as you just mentioned. I'll call that the Joy Behar playbook of, don't tell them you're going to take away your guns. Get elected and then take away their guns. That's been part of the Saul Alinsky Rules for Radical playbook with these guys for years and years and years. So let's move forward now to, because we're in agreement with that, 2019. I like the way your buddy phrased that. The pace of the acceleration really has just been at breakneck speed, no doubt. I apologize to my listeners, Paul. I can't cover it all anymore. I can't. And I feel like I'm letting people down. Having said that, we do the best we can with what we have and continue to work on that triage and determine what most stories or which ones are the most important, I should say. 2020 going forward, it's going to be a raucous year, brother. You want to give us some predictions from Virginia, what's happening in Virginia, to how that's going to play across the country, and then, of course, the presidential election. What do you think?
Well, what I've seen and what I'm seeing right now, what I'm witnessing with the left and the anti-gun crowd and basically it's just the control crowd. We say they're anti-gun, but they're all about control, whether it's controlling your tax dollars via where you're allowed to live or how you're allowed to live, or it's all about control. And they've gotten away with so much for so long that I really believe that a lot of them feel untouchable. It's no different than, if you have a 2-year-old and the 2-year-old throws a tantrum and you give him a cookie, by the time he's 5, he's really good, or she, at throwing tantrums. And the tantrums don't get smaller. They get larger and more frequent. And so what we've done is we've been reasonable You know, we've taken our lumps. You know, we took it on the chin with Obama, you know, twice. And we allowed Eric Holder to commit crimes and felonies through the DOJ and did not punish him. I mean, I think the American people, unless they're completely dyed in the wool, you know, brainwashed, know that Eric Holder and the DOJ and the ATF committed multiple felonies.
Oh, sure. Oh,
but
sure.
None of them were held to account. So what did we teach them? We taught them you can do anything you want, say anything you want, violate the Constitution and the Bill of Rights all you want, because we're not going to hold you accountable.
And that, of course, builds their sense of entitlement. And when they're
exactly.
And that's a very dangerous combination when you include that with that sense of entitlement. I'll go back to the analogy that you used with the cookie jar and giving the tantrum thrower a cookie. That creates, by satisfying them, that creates that sense of entitlement. And that's where we are with America's left right now. They were so entitled. They couldn't even win a rigged election with Hillary Clinton. And I do fear what we're going to see when Donald Trump trounces them in November of 2020. It's not going to be pretty. Hey, Paul, I hate to do it, but I can say this. I ended the 2019 year with you on the air, and I thank you very much. I think it's really befitting, brother, the fact that you're here, you're healthy, you're back, you're cancer-free. I couldn't think of anybody else I'd rather say Happy New Year to, bro, than you here on Armed American Radio's airwaves. So thank you for being here, student of the gun. Armed American Radio, Happy New Year to you, listener. We're going to get up and do it again tomorrow on Monday, or I'll say Happy New Year again. But you know the routine. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you on the radio.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom on Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, the loudest voice in America fighting for gun rights.